Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back. Today, we'd really like to welcome back our dear friend, Monica Bidwell. Monica and Scott have been married for 15 years, and they have three kids. They have one biological daughter who's 11, and they have two sons, 9 and 3, who joined their family through domestic infant adoption. Scott and Monica have been really dear friends of ours for, gosh, such a long time, and we've walked with them through their journey of building their family and walked alongside and prayed with them. So we're super thankful for them. Monica has a passion for orphan care and ministering to other moms, and they live right here in the big state of Georgia.
Monica, thanks for being here again today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So today we really want to kind of talk a bit about maybe some myths that people have about domestic infant adoption. So what would you consider some of the myths maybe that people might have?
Well, just, they're not being taken from something that they're already familiar with to be put into something else that they're...
So they don't have a memory.
Right. There's not a memory. They're not grieving a person that they knew. You're getting them so young that they won't remember anything, you know, a lot of those things, which sound ideal, but they're just not true. I know not long ago, like Tara, you're my big sister in the faith and you're a sweet friend and you guys have walked through a lot with us and we did training, you know, with you all. And so I kind of have you on speed dial whenever I need you. Right? And so I called you on one of our tough days with our oldest son. He was dealing with some trauma related to his adoption. And, you know, I'll talk a little more later about how we knew that. But I needed some advice and to cry and to make sure I hadn't royally messed up his life with the conversation we had. And so you asked if I would do that and, on a podcast, if we could just talk about some of these things. A lot of people choose domestic adoption because of some of those myths. They think that there won't be trauma and grief as much since they're brought home at birth. They'll always be quote unquote yours. And, it's not true.
No, it's not.
Mm-mm. We brought home both of our boys through domestic infant adoption, one through an agency. We hardly had any birth parent contact, just at the hospital, not a whole lot of history. Our second child that we brought home, our son, was through a private adoption and was through a friend of a friend who knew they needed to make a plan with their niece for adoption. And both boys have very different stories. Both boys experienced some trauma in the womb from various substances they were exposed to. And both of them were with us, you know, from the very beginning. But we discovered pretty quickly that just because they're with you from the very beginning doesn't mean they're not going to hurt.
I think the thing we have to remember is that babies, just like when you were carrying your oldest daughter, when you're carrying your baby for 9 months, they know your voice.
They do. They know your voice.
And the rhythms of the way you move. They know, and they know you. I mean, it's a scientific fact that they know you. And you're taking great care of yourself, the very best that you can, and providing the most nurturing, loving environment in the womb for the baby. And at the point when your boys' birth moms were really struggling, they were in a really broken place in their life and were struggling with some decisions that were impacting the boys in the womb.
Right.
And so your boys knew their mama's voice. So it's not as if they don't know or don't remember anything. And I think sometimes we discount that, but you cannot discount that.
No, you can't.
Mm-hmm. Right. It does come into play and you start to see it. You know, we were really grateful for the wisdom that we had been given, you know, just through training and talking to more experienced parents that had walked before us through adoption. And, you know, they had always told us, you know, just always tell the story from day one. Tell the child about their adoption. Just make it your life. This is what life is in our home.
So never a secret, even though your boys, when your boys came home, you've never kept their adoption a secret.
Exactly. I mean, we'd be rocking them in the nursery and telling it, you know, and right then, you know, you're not telling it for their sake, but you're telling it for yours.
Right. You're practicing.
Just to get used to saying it, you know.
Monica, you're so right. I was just doing that out in the hallway with my little granddaughter when she came here. And I remember having her, we had her her first month of life, that we were already talking to her about, you know, how the Lord brought you into our family, and we're so great. You know, you were adopted in love, and we are so grateful for you, even though she didn't understand, you know, she was an infant. But you're so wise to start that early.
Yes.
Well, it is definitely, you know, and even whenever they're tiny and you're rocking them in the rocking chair, you know, it's, you're saying it to them, but really it's for your benefit too.
That's right.
And so you just get used to saying it, and it just becomes normal for your home. And so we did this for years, and we would give more information to, you know, I'm still referencing my oldest one. We would give him more information as his questions would come, or he got a little more mature and we could give him more of the story. But at age five, we had the actual moment where it seemed to click. We were looking through a scrapbook that we had made of his adoption, you know, the story of how he came to us, and things about his birth parents, and just history there. And there was a look on his face as we were reading it that was different. Mm-hmm. It was like, it wasn't just information anymore, but he realized that it was something that happened to him. Mm-hmm. He finally got it. And it was one of those moments that just aches in your heart as a parent,
because you know it's coming.
You just see the sadness and the loss just creep across his little face. And there's a little anger too. He's thinking, you know, but I was in her tummy, not yours. And I was like, that's right, buddy, you know. And he looked at his birth mom's picture. And after he had decided he was done looking at the book and didn't really want to talk about it anymore, a little while later, he came to me and he pointed to the picture and he said, "This is my favorite mom."
Wow.
Ooh.
He was processing much deeper than you could have ever imagined at 5 years old.
And he was looking for your reaction.
Yes.
Like, are you going to say something bad about her, or...
Well, when that happened at our house, we were making pigtails and my little one was in front of me. And she said, "My birth mommy didn't want me." That makes me so sad. And that was the first time that she acknowledged that. But it was at 4 years old. So you're right. When it hits you, like, I'll never in my whole life forget that moment.
Yeah. It's just that moment where you think, oh, I wish I could take this all for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I can't, because it's your story and you have to walk through it.
So what did you do when he said that?
You know, I just kind of listened. I was like, tell me about that, you know.
Way to go, Mama.
And he would say, well, you know, because I was in her tummy. And I'm like, that's really cool, you know, and just trying not to overreact, even though inside, you know, you're thinking, oh, please still love me, you know. But, you know, he's processing. And you just kind of have to look at it and think, even though you can't be in his place, if you were, wouldn't you feel that way?
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, you just have to think, what if it were me? Wouldn't I be curious? Wouldn't I want to know and ask questions? And so just being a safe place for him to bring those questions is such hard work, but it's so good.
It is.
How else is he going to process this?
And, you know, we have to remember, as adoptive and foster moms, we cannot be offended.
No.
We have to leave our offenses outside, because the child cannot process those. They're using, like he said, that's my favorite mom.
Right.
You know, that was the only vocabulary he had to really describe that tenderness he had toward her at that moment when he realized, when, like you said, Monica, he put the pieces together. And he began to understand it, and saying, "That was my favorite mom." That's the only words he had to express that. And we cannot be offended by that as parents.
That's right. We can't put our adult feelings on them. You know?
Right.
Was that his?
When he had that moment at five, he's now nine. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that more moments have come, because as children grow and develop, we know that their brain begins to grow, and they begin to analyze information differently when they're 5 and 8 and 12 right. and 16 and 18.
And then hormones kick in at yes. 10. And yeah.
So this is the first of many moments that you're going to have. That's for
right.
sure. So how did he just leave that conversation and everything was fine? Or as different moments have come along, as he's grown and matured, how has he handled that information?
You know, I mean, sometimes we'll go almost a year without him wanting to talk much about it. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to talk about it, or I'll bring up, or I'll even just say, hey, buddy, you know, we haven't talked about this in a while. Just so you know, if you ever want to talk about it, I'm good with that.
I love it. That's so good.
Perfect. Yeah.
But, you know, every time that he would have a new layer of understanding about his story, you could always tell because there was a funk that went
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sadness, a lot of up and downs. His highs were high, his lows were low, some anger. And then he would ask more questions, or, you know, things would die down and he would put it to bed for a little while. But just always we just always try to be with him, to not use too many words, because I mess up whenever I use too many words. And just to hurt with him and just keep assuring him that we're not going anywhere, that we're here.
Well, he always needs to know you're Team Jay. You're Team
yes.
Jay always. You're always
yes.
going to be on his side no matter what he says or how he needs to discuss it or talk about it, that you and Daddy are always on his side.
And knowing your family, you're always connecting and
right.
caring, and it's okay. You're mm-hmm. always connecting. You're moving forward as a family, and daily, you know, you're building a life together
right.
as a family.
That's right. You know, there are times that it's just, you can tell that it's just right on the surface. It's just in his heart, and he's dealing with it. You know, recently we were having one of those disciplinary moments, you know, that, you know, we're in the bathroom talking and just dealing with something that he did. And his response to the discipline and just talking, it just turned into this raw expression of grief that just broke my heart. And it had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of came out, you know, why did this happen to me? You know, it was about his adoption, and why did they do this, and why didn't they want me? And it just goes to show that is just, he's expressing his feeling of loss that had absolutely, yeah, it fed into why he's probably acting out and doing things, but that it's not just about what he just did. It's about his heart is hurting, you
mm-hmm.
know. I didn't have any, you know, clever answers or cliches. I mean, those are worthless in these situations, you know. You just keep doing the same thing. And I didn't know what else to do, but just to tell him his story again and just tell him that birth mom really did love him and that it was a very difficult decision for her and that our love is never going to change towards him, and God's love is perfect towards him. And then, you know, sometimes after you say all of those things, like in that moment, I sat on the little footstool in our bathroom, and I rocked my 80-pound 9-year-old in silence, and we just cried together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the sweetest, holiest moments to mm-hmm. me, because I was just thinking, God, it is ridiculous that he is letting me do this with him, that he would let me into his hurt right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God, thank you that I can just walk with him through this.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard. I'll never forget one year, one of our kids, we were excited about planning a special meal to celebrate this one's entry into our home. I think this one had been home maybe 5 years or something like that. And the little one said, I said, what would you like for dinner tonight? And our little one said, I don't want anything. I mean, like, ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole response was, the only reason that we're celebrating tonight is because something terrible happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And up until that time, you know, in years past, it always was a point of celebration. Like, I want to celebrate. This is a big deal. Did you forget? Because, like, it's happening. But
yeah.
This particular year, it was just raw. And all we said was, sweetheart, we love you. And we are grateful that you're our child. But we know that you're hurting and it's okay. We don't have to do anything this year. The next year rolls around and, you know, the head pops up off the pillow and it's like, so what are we doing for me today? So, I mean, you never know. It waxes and wanes. And
it does. And, you know, we had that happen in our house and there was not one complete sentence.
Mm.
But it was the grief. Yeah. You know, it had come around to that time.
Yeah.
When the adoption took place, and then there were no words.
Right.
There were no words brought to the table, just a lot of tears.
Right.
Yeah.
It really is just so hard. And I know you said earlier that your boys both were exposed prenatally to substances.
Yes.
And I know that does play into that. And so when people are thinking about, domestic adoption and how they want to walk this path, that does play into things. So long-term effects of that still in some aspects are not even known. But
right.
Our role as mom and dad is love them through it.
That's right.
I mean, we could, any of us could have a child that has special needs and we love them through it and we help them become the best child that they can possibly be. And we celebrate their strengths and we help shore up their weaknesses. And so there's just a lot that goes in, no matter what type of adoption or foster care. It's just not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not. And I guess I've gotten older in this process, because now when couples are like, yeah, we just really want this perfect little child. And I find myself just being blunt honest now and saying good luck with that.
Right.
Because where are the perfect parents that are going to go along with this perfect baby?
No
we
kidding.
Know this does not happen.
Right.
Because we're all born into a broken world, and we all have
That's
a past.
Right.
Yeah, we all have things to deal with. Yep.
Well,
exactly.
If in closing, if you could share a nugget of wisdom with people who are considering adopting or fostering a child from any background or any age or from anywhere, what would you say? After all these years, what have you learned in the last almost decade?
Well, I think there's just not an easy way to bring a kid home. And there's not one type of adoption that is more streamlined or simpler than another, or fostering. It's just all hard. And I would just tell anyone that's adopting or fostering a child from any background, of any age, from any spot on the globe, that you need to prepare your heart to hurt with your kid. We need to educate ourselves and just devour all of the materials, trustworthy materials, you know, that we can about helping kids navigate trauma in a healthy, God-honoring way, and a way that dignifies their stories.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and
perfect.
Their birth families. And just to pray a lot that it's not all about how difficult it is. It is so full of unspeakable joy. And there are just some things in life that are just worth fighting for. And this is one of them.
That's so great.
You're so right, Monica. There's the Lord asked me to kind of open my prayer journal. We've shared about it on this podcast before. I shared about it all weekend. And it's very simple, but it's just prayers for my chosen child. So we'll add that in the show notes as well. It's just a starting point for parents to pray about all the things, Monica, you just shared.
Mm-hmm.
And in several of them, you really wouldn't have thought to pray over them with your biological kids,
right.
Like attachment, you know. But that's a big deal in adoption and
healing
foster care.
And healing from their past. I love that one in the booklet. And just talking about, you know, there are a lot of hurtful things that happen. When our kids were little, I would say, you know, people have yucky stuff in their past.
Mm-hmm.
We all do. And our prayer is that the Lord restores you to as healthy a place as he possibly can while you're on this earth. And our full restoration will not be until we stand before him. So
That's
healing
right.
from the past and just accepting this did happen to me and it was really yucky, but the Lord had a purpose and has a purpose and a plan in everything that he has done in my life and will do.
That's right. That's right. I just love this reminder from God's word, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he who began this good work in our children, all of our children, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for listening again today. If this podcast has helped you in any way, if it's brought you comfort or you've been able to share with someone or just encouraged you to step into foster or adoption care, or maybe encouraged you not to run away from foster or adoption care, would you just take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes? It would mean the world to us and it would really help us out.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.